The passage for today comes from not the Gospels, but from the prophets. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14 is what we will be reading there. And as you are turning there, I was asked a few weeks ago if I would be available for this Sunday to speak, and, well, as soon as that offer was extended to me, I immediately thought of this passage, which was a surprise to me because, one, having a Greek minor, it makes it a lot easier for me to do quick work with New Testament texts than Old Testament, and two, it's Palm Sunday. Why am I reading from Ezekiel? But it is through the words of Ezekiel we can understand what the entry truly means, not just for the context of we have today in our present and the future, but also in Israel's past. I want you to imagine with me, may not be a stretch of your imagination, being cooped up in your house for an extended period of time, say a year or so, and all of a sudden a lot of things start opening up and becoming more available to you, and you're able to leave these designated areas, such as your home or your place of work, and you're able to go outside of your house, your work, the city, and actually go and see the world at large. I don't know about you, but when I go out from my little area and go to, say, a state park or just out in the country for a drive, I personally like to roll the windows down so I can get a bit of fresh air. Because there's something different about the air that you breathe in the areas that you know and the air you breathe out in new places. Growing up in rural Indiana, there was a lot of farm smells that I could smell. And when I went from there to, though a small city, but a city nonetheless of Kankakee, a lot more different smells came along. And now it's the opposite, where I'm going from Kankakee all the way up here for work or for church, and then going to my parents for different holidays and events in the country, there's a new smell associated with each place. And when you are used to a certain smell, you become complacent in that smell. But when you go and experience a new smell, something that you enjoy, say you go to a nice fresh baked goods shop, or you go out to the country and get the fresh air, or to a state park where you get the smell of running streams and the foliage and bloom, and then you come back to the place that you have been, you notice everything that is wrong with that smell. When you sit in your own stink and filth, you get used to the stink and filth. But when a new presence comes along in your senses, you can't help but not notice what's wrong. And with that said, let us open up to our Bibles, to the book of Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 37, if you would all stand with me. And so Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breath into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. As the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, thanks be to God. You may be seated. And so we have our desolate scene before us, a deep, dry valley near a canyon, some might say. And in this canyon, a mighty army demolished and destroyed by some unknown force, laying here, decomposing at a rate unknown to us, but long enough that not only are the bodies unrecognizable as a number of bodies, but these bones are dry. Now, my wife and I really enjoy our CSI type shows, and I'm sure a few of you may also have that little pleasure of yours. But in those, there's a lot of fiction in there, but there's one thing that remains true, and that is, bodies just don't decompose overnight. And in fact, dry bones are very hard to come by unless you have very specific conditions. You not only have to have the death, of course, but you also have to have things that will eat the flesh. You have to have dryness in the air to keep it from weathering the bone with the moisture. What you have here is a desolate, near desert condition. Not in the same way as in Egypt, where you can find easily mummified remains, where the bones are covered by the skin and oily remains, no. But you also don't have waterlogged corpses floating down a narrow stream. You have neglect here. And that is exactly what Ezekiel is speaking to in this time. The people of Israel found themselves in a state of neglect that they believed was so far gone that they could not be saved. And how many of us have heard that same excuse from people we know? Oh, I am too far gone. God cannot save me. Oh, I've done too much in my lifetime. There's no redemption for me. But in these words, we find encouragement. It is in these words and in these actions that Ezekiel acts on the will of God and the words of God he speaks without hesitation. He does so immediately after being instructed to do so, and so the events took place. The bones began to come back together, bone to bone, joint to joint. The tendons and the sinew began to take place. The muscle and the organs came into their own, and skin covered the bodies. That's one step of the process. You could make a body look like a body fairly easily. Take Madame Tussaud's wax emporium, for instance. You can mold wax and many other features, marble and the like, to look almost as if it were real. Of course, the main difference between Madame Tussaud's magnificent creations and the human body is, well, one's made of wax and the other is flesh and blood. But in the same instance, we have individuals that pass. And they are flesh and bone, but they no longer have life within them. It is the breath that must come next. And so the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Speak to the wind, and it will come as a breath to these people." The wind, the breath, the ruach, as the Hebrew word for it is the very life essence that we have spoken from the very beginning in Genesis. This word, this breath, this wind and life, the Holy Spirit of God descending upon its people and making them not just a bunch of corpses recognized as humanity, but a vast army and lively and ready for the work of God. And so we have all of our pieces in place. We have Ezekiel commanding through the commands of the Lord an army in a valley. But what does this have to do with Palm Sunday? Well, let us briefly look back at Mark. And just as Larry had read prior, as they, Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they went to untie it, someone standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus then entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Just as easy as that. So we're looking at these two, and we can see somewhat of a parallel here. We have the Lord in flesh commanding his disciples to go forth and prepare the way. To go get a colt and bring it to him to ride into the city. A city that is considered holy. A city that has seen devastation and persecution at the hands of the Romans. A city and people who considered themselves dead in the water due to their neglect and their silence over the many centuries since the prophets. And what happens when Jesus approaches the city? Everyone gets up and pitches in and makes way a clear path for the Lord, laying down their cloaks, leaves, making a clean path from the gate, even before the gate, all the way to his destination, to the temple. A lively crowd singing praises, acting in response to the presence of God among them. Their fervor gripping throughout the city and coming to rest upon each of them. The Spirit of God resting upon his people. And this is just the precursor. This, you see this, and you think, these are people of God. These are proud Israelites declaring their Lord. But we forget. A few days later, further down in the week, this same crowd that declared Hosanna, blessed is the kingdom of our Lord David, turned around and declared him to be the one they want sacrificed on a tree. The same people who were excited about Jesus riding in not on a conqueror's stallion, but the peacekeeper's colt, now declaring him a revolutionary deserving death against their oppressors. These are not simple followers. These are but husks. Face masks and facades, each one of them, seeing what could be in promise of what they desire and not what they need. This is the moment where Jesus looks forward and sees what is to come. Just verses later, he sees a fig tree and it withers up. The symbol of the people of Israel. But how could that be? How could it be that this group of individuals that celebrated them so highly would turn around as easily as that within such a short amount of time? The answer is simple. They did not know what they need. They simply knew what they desired. And so it is in the following weeks, after all of the events, after what we anticipate on Friday and the events of Sunday, and weeks after, we find Pentecost. And this is where the second portion of Ezekiel takes place. In fear, of many oppressors coming upon them. These husks of individuals would not come to see what Jesus had for them until after the fact. For they did not have the breath upon them, they simply saw the breath before them, just as you see your breath in the winter months of the cold. But just as winter turns to spring, and we look forward to the joyous prosperity of the fruits of the vineyard and the farm, the breath is unleashed upon us all, and we get a breath of fresh air from heaven. Hidden away in a dark room, fearing what those traitors had done to their Lord to happen to them, after seeing so many miraculous signs and even his resurrection, they spoke and prayed, "Lord, descend upon us." And so it was in that moment, and they were all filled with the Spirit. And it was in that they were able to properly display the Spirit to the people around them, and so the church was added to daily. Ezekiel was not wrong in his process, for he was directed by God above. We must first see people as they are before we can see them for what they can become. Christ does not desire a people who have already been filled by the Spirit, for to find one of those would be impossible. What he desires is to fill vessels that already exist. And so we come here celebrating the entry of a king, the entry of our Lord and Savior into the holy city, only to be betrayed days later and killed, just as it were told. But it is only a matter of time that the army of God will rise up from the dead and discarded bodies that have been neglected for so long. If you or anyone you know are bombarded by thoughts of, "I have done too much against my Lord. I have committed too many transgressions to be saved. I have lived such a deviant life." There is hope coming. Because in your life, and the life of those concerned, the breath may not have fallen upon them yet. Their nostrils may not have come open. A common sign in young children who are just born that they have difficulty breathing is a flaring of the nostrils. I only know this because I was one of those children that had flaring nostrils. But when that air, when that breath of life comes into the lungs of the child, that is when true life can be seen invigorating them, because they are not grasping at air. They are not sucking in the oxygen they can. They are getting exactly what they need. So hope is not lost for those that believe that they are too far gone. The king is coming in one form and another. Whether you pass beyond this world in death, or you live long enough to see the king return in all of his splendor, you still have the opportunity to meet God before then by praying and declaring for the will and spirit of God to come upon you and those that need it. And it is so that the people of Israel, the people of God, can once again stand up as a vast army, not for the conquering of a world, but for the redemption of creation. We are going to close today with a singing of a song we should all be familiar with at this point, which is Graves into Gardens. Just as we have read today, Ezekiel, through the testimony and word of God, it is possible for graves to be converted into something beautiful, ashes to be converted into beauty, and bones into a vast army.